Good evening. It is wonderful to be with you as we continue our sermon series going over questions that God asks. Today we are going over the question which God asks to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? And as we wrestle with this question this evening, I pray that we would come to see afresh the power of God and come to rest ourselves anew on the Lord Almighty, just trusting that He is indeed all-powerful and working all things together for our good. At this time, would you please stand for our call to worship? God's invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. These are but the fringes of His ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of Him? But the thunder of His power, who can understand? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God is my strong fortress, and He makes my way perfect. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before Your presence tonight, we confess that we have daily sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. We are weak in our flesh to live holy lives. We are overcome daily by our sin, and we fail to keep Your commandments. Come to us with grace and mercy, and forgive us for Jesus' sake. Merciful Father, You have shown Yourself to be merciful, kind, and slow to anger, and You are full of power to forgive sins. We thank You for sending Your Son to us, who has overcome sin and death on our behalf. While we were weak, You sent Jesus to live the perfect life that we couldn't live. We thank You for calling us in our baptisms, in which You clothe us in Christ's righteousness. Give us confidence and strength in knowing that we are Your people, cherished, loved, and forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn 797.
Thank you.
reading for this evening comes from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three sheahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed in herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. There are a lot of teaching styles in the world today. In fact, teachers can use a whole variety of different methods and techniques. For example, they can simply lecture, or they can demonstrate, or they can facilitate conversation. And all of these are good and valid ways to teach. But in addition to these, though, there's yet another method of teaching, and that is by simply asking questions. Now, this method of teaching is actually called the Socratic method, named after Socrates, and it's named after him simply because Socrates was much more likely to simply ask questions than he was to lecture. His teaching style was rather to just draw out the thoughts from his students and to really make them wrestle with the material. Of course, Socrates, he could have just told his students the information. He could have just spoon-fed them everything they needed to know. But by asking questions, that forced the students to really engage with the information. And in fact, it forced them to think critically about the material. Instead of just being passive in the learning process, whenever a teacher poses questions, students are encouraged to think critically with the material. And that's the beauty of the Socratic method. Well, dear friends, over 1,000 years before Socrates, while his parents' parents weren't even yet born, we see a greater teacher using the so-called Socratic method. For in our Old Testament reading this evening, God himself uses it. He visits Abraham saying, though you're 99 years old, though your wife now is 90, this next year you are going to have a son. Do you doubt me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, God could have simply just told Abraham no. He could have said, nothing's too hard for me. And honestly, that could have been the end of the discussion right there. God could have just said the fact and just let it sit there as if it were self-evidently true. He could have just said it and then bid Abraham to take him at his word, to believe it on blind faith. And yet, dear friends, while God is absolutely worthy of blind faith, though he should say anything at any time and we would be wise to believe it, even still, though, that's not actually how God bids us to believe. He doesn't want his people to follow him blindly. Rather, what we find him saying is, come now, let us reason together. God wants us to wrestle and to consider these aspects of our faith. He doesn't want us to just go through the motions. He doesn't want us to just have some weak, ill-thought-out faith. Instead, he wants us to be certain. He wants us to be convinced. He wants us to wrestle with our faith and consider all of its claims. And that's what God is doing in our scripture reading. He is bidding us now to wrestle with and to consider the validity of the argument. Abraham, a miracle is going to happen. You're going to have a child, but I ask you, is anything too hard for the Lord? See how the Lord is just inviting challenges. He challenges Abraham to thoughtfully examine the claim and then to give it an answer. Take as much time as you need, but after wrestling with the question, you must answer it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? In fact, is there even room to doubt? And asking whether there's anything too hard for God, it's essentially the strongest way of saying nothing is. Our silence, dear friends, that answers the question for us. God is defying all accusers. He is here challenging every doubter and questioner. Where is the debater of this age? Where is the creature who will bring accusations against him? Every creature in heaven or on earth or in hell, this question is now posed to us. God is laying down the gauntlet, dear friends, and this is our opportunity to scour the universe for an answer. Search high and low. Search everywhere and anywhere. Search for all eternity if you must. Go even to the remotest corners of the universe. But when you are finally ready to give your answer, come back and give your account. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Honestly, take your time if you need it. Whatever it takes to consider the claim carefully. For if you haven't noticed, God has been waiting for over 4,000 years for an answer since he first asked the question. And we're still waiting for anyone to find something that's even remotely difficult for him. You know, though God asks, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me just pose the question this way. Is anything even hard for the Lord? As we get ready to examine the question, what we'll see is that not only is there nothing too hard for God, but nothing is even hard. Looking at the question itself, perhaps it's humorous to even have to think about it. But again, by just asking the question, he's bidding us to examine it. He wants us, again, to wrestle and consider it. By the very posing of the question, God is challenging us to consider these arguments and to reason together for an answer. And so let us, dear friends, seek this answer tonight. Is anything too hard for our God? Is anything too hard for him who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing? For him who speaks and it is done? For him who needs no help from any living creature to fulfill his purposes? Though he created legions of angels, he has never once relied upon them for anything in return. Though he's created myriads of heavenly creatures, he's never needed anything from any of them. Consider the angelic hosts not as helpers or counselors, for even the brightest and strongest among them, they truly have nothing to offer the Lord. The greatest of God's creatures can offer him nothing. The Lord, he rather just gives and gives and gives strength to his creation, and he's never once taken anything back in return. He is all sufficient within himself, and he needs not to look anywhere else for power. Rather, look at the displays of his strength and answer the question. See how God can overcome the mighty Pharaoh with nothing but frogs and gnats and locusts. See how he can destroy an entire world power with nothing but tiny little insects. See how the Lord just speaks and hurricanes are made silent. He speaks and the oceans become like a sea of glass. He but wills it, and he heals all manners of sicknesses. We see him calling out to the dead and making them alive again. This is the kind of power that God has. It's him alone who upholds the universe by the strength of his hands. Seeing him do these things, surely, dear friends, we could assume that he can do anything. And yet, suppose these examples aren't good enough for you. Imagine that you still need a greater proof. For you say that you can conceive of something that's even harder than all of those things. Something that's harder than raising the dead with a single word. Something that's harder than destroying the whole country of Egypt with insects. And you can conclude that all of these lesser proofs of power, that they aren't actually good enough for you. Well, beloved, I believe that we can even find an answer for you who question it. For while we might be able to conceive of something harder than all of these things just mentioned, there's one thing you can't do. And that is to conceive of something harder than saving sinners. The most difficult task under heaven, God has already accomplished it. The Lord has already come to bear the infinite wrath and judgment of God. He's already shown his power by overcoming death and the grave. While you no doubt thought destroying Egypt with bugs was impressive, see how he destroys the kingdoms of darkness with even weaker means. See how the Lord crushes Satan's head with the folly of the cross. He who has power to overcome Satan in dying, surely he can do anything now that he lives forever. See the almighty power of God, that Jesus can sustain the infinite justice and punishment of God. See Jesus, how he can receive the judicial blow from the almighty God. He takes it upon himself, God's infinite punishment for sin. And even then, it still seems like he has strength enough to spare. Surely I am convinced that even then, Jesus would not have died if it wasn't for the fact that he willingly gave up his life, scriptures say. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Even in death, Jesus was full of strength. Even at his weakest, see his power, and that no one takes his life from him, but rather how he gives it up on his own accord. If God has done all of this, then there's nothing, dear friends, that we can possibly conceive of that God can't do for us. Surely he can meet every need. He can comfort every sorrow. He can heal every disease, strengthen every man, and he can forgive every sinner. It reminds me, last of all, how when Jesus said, "All authority, all power has been given to me." Though such a claim as that might frighten me if it came from the lips of anyone else, when I hear it come from the mouth of Jesus, though, how soothing is that claim? For these are the words of a compassionate God. These are not the words of a ruthless dictator. These are not the words of a cruel judge. But these, they are the words of a gentle, merciful, and loving God. So not only do I answer the question confidently and reasonably and most assuredly with a yes, God can do anything, but rather I answer the question with joy in my heart. Yes, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. And what joy that sentence gives me. For while power in the hands of some people is dangerous, in the hands of God, what a blessing it is for us who love him. Let him have all the power. Let him do with it whatever he so wills, for he can't will anything but that which is good, right, and beautiful. When all power is in his hands, dear friends, let such a knowledge as that cheer you, knowing that he will use it rightly for you. And in light of these things, let us then be moved to go to God often. If all power has been given unto Jesus, know that he will not chide you for going to him too often. He will always have compassion upon those who come to him, upon those who acknowledge their weaknesses and who turn to him for all sources of strength, protection, and provision. And as beggars, dear friends, may we come before him and come often. For he will indeed fulfill you with good things, for he cares for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you are full of love and grace. Though you are all powerful and possess all ability to do as you please, yet you are also gentle, loving, caring, merciful, and kind to us, your creation and your people. We thank you that you have sent your Son into the world to reveal to us your nature, both your strength and your mercy. We thank you for revealing yourself to us as a God of loving kindness who orders all things for the good of your people. In light of your goodness, lead us to rejoice in your strength and give us the hearts to praise you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, as you have shown yourself to us, teach us to always trust in you. Lead us to love your power, knowing that you can do all things, and that you work all things together for our good. As nothing is too hard for you, lead us to come before you often, knowing that we have no strength on our own. We ask that you would humble us and that you would uphold us by the will of your power. Lead us in the habit of daily calling upon you for peace, for comfort, and for strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all strength, we acknowledge your might and we humbly ask that you would lead us to trust in you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When trials and difficulties come, remind us that you are worthy of all trust and put within us that heart that longs to lean upon you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, God of all strength, look down with mercy upon those who are hurting, those who have great needs, those who are burdened and overwhelmed. We ask that you would grant to these your peace and your rest, deliver your people from all harm and danger, and bring us rejoicing to heaven's gates, where we will live with you forever, without sorrow and without tears. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Almighty Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated for Departing Hymn 745.